From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the book of Judges. In chapter 4, the Holy Spirit records the victory of Israel over the forces of Jabin, king of Canaan, through Deborah, Barak, and Jael. Chapter 5 resounds with the victory song of Deborah, one of the brightest passages in the book. However, chapter 6 commences not with a song, but with a sigh. After 40 years of peace, Israel once again drifted away from God and fell under the cruel bondage of the Midianites. From that experience, Dr. Cairns will warn of the dangers of sin and backsliding. In the course of the chapter, God raised up Gideon, the greatest of the judges. The means by which the Lord did this gives us the title of this message, Indications of Revival. Dr. Cairns will introduce the message in just a few minutes. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional today bears the title, Always First in Fellowship. The text is Mark chapter 16 and verse 7. He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Where he appointed to meet his disciples, there he would be in due time. Jesus keeps his tryst. If he promises to meet us at the mercy seat, or in public worship, or in the ordinances, we may depend upon it that he will be there. We may wickedly stay away from the appointed meeting place, but he never does. He says, where two or three are met together in my name, there am I. He says not, there will I be, but I am there already. Jesus is always first in fellowship. He goeth before you. His heart is with his people. His delight is in them. He is never slow to meet them. In all fellowship, he goeth before us. But he reveals himself to those who come after him. There shall ye see him. Joyful sight! We care not to see the greatest of mere men, but to see him is to be filled with joy and peace. And we shall see him, for he promises to come to those who believe in him and to manifest himself to them. Rest assured that it will be so, for he does everything according to his word of promise, as he said unto you. Catch at those last words, and be assured that to the end he will do for you as he said unto you.
To see.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Judges chapter 6. We ought to be reading the first 35 verses, but as time is moving quickly, we're going to start at verse 1, and we will read together to the end of verse 14. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him, and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? We'll finish the reading at verse 14. May the Lord bless it to our hearts for his name's sake. Judges 5 is filled with sweet singing. It ends on a high note. You'll notice in triumphal hymns, very often, especially if they're sung by some of the excellent vocalists that we can call on here, they end at the top of the range. Well, the song at the end of Judges 5 hits the top of the range. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. Sweet singing in chapter 5. And yet, as soon as we enter into chapter 6, there is no more song. Rather, there is bitter sighing as the Midianites overrun the land of Israel. The difference between the singing in chapter 5 and the sighing in chapter 6 is quite simply sin. In the camp of Israel. Nothing will rob God's people of their song like sin. For a while it seems that it may go undetected, it may go unpunished, it may appear that compromise does not bring such a terrible curse after all, but it is not very long before you notice one of the very first remarkable occurrences as the result of sin, and it is the loss of the Christian's song. The Church of Christ is a singing church when it's a church in revival. Christians are a singing people when they are a people who can see the face of their God and can rejoice in the sweet fellowship of their Savior. But when they are sidetracked by sin, when they become worldly in their thinking, worldly in their acting, when those things that ought to engage their attention are pushed to the side, and they attend to things that are purely of a temporal nature, of a passing nature, and they leave the things of eternity without a care, those people will have no song. Sin then, at the beginning of Judges 6, robbed them of. The lessons of those opening verses are deadly serious. Even for Christians. True, obviously, of the unseeth man, but it's true of the Christian. Sin fascinates. It is like a snake's eye fixed upon its victim. It locks your gaze. It disengages the proper mental processes that you ought to have. Sin fascinates. The book of Judges, where the people of Israel constantly were blessed, brought into rest, and then we read they sinned. Obviously, it not only fascinates, but it deceives. It comes up with the same lie again and again and again. And though it has been exploded a million times, yet that lie constantly deceives men. The devil comes with the lust of the flesh and the world, and he comes with the lust of the eye, he comes with the enticement of sin, and he tells a sinner, you can sin and get away with it. And the sinner will always hearken to the deception. It has been well pointed out by great preachers down through the years that temptation is utterly without power unless it has the power to deceive. Even Christians fall for this deceptiveness of sin. We find in the church today an increasing worldliness, an increasing addiction to the things of time and sense, less and less emphasis on the things that really matter, less and less attention being paid to the things of eternity. We were thinking this morning, for instance, from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, about the faith of God's people and how it affects their families, and how God's people, Christian parents, ought above all other things to see their children saved and leave them that blessing above every other blessing. And yet we find today that Christian parents have little time to pray for their children, little time to teach their children, little time to give to their children. Then they wonder why the world ensnares them. Sin deceives God's people even. Sin enslaves. The Midianites came as grasshoppers over the land. Sin enslaves. And sin impoverishes. It is, I think, a very apt thing to read at this Thanksgiving period. Verse 6, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. Notice how they were impoverished. Verse 3, it was so. When Israel had sown, the Midianites came up, the Amalekites, the children of the east, they came up against them, encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth. They came up with all their cattle and their tents, and they were as grasshoppers for multitude, and they greatly impoverished Israel. Sin impoverishes. In a spiritual lesson to the church, sin removes the joy of harvest. Sin will destroy the labor of many years. You think of a great preacher. He may preach for 30 years. He may have been greatly used in those 30 years. But let him fall into great sin, and those 30 years will be forgotten. Certainly as far as the world is concerned. Certainly as far as his reputation is concerned. And as his lasting testimony is concerned. If I understand Ezekiel right, very often even as far as God is concerned, sin takes away the harvest. You're never richer for being carnal. You're never better off for being worldly. When you allow sin to fascinate, sin to deceive, and sin to enslave, to put distance between you and your God, you are the loser all round. Sin. These are deadly lessons about it. We find in Judges 6. But you know, God's people, sea of people, cannot live in sin. I emphasize that. Some people wonder, is there such a thing even as a backslider? I've had people come and challenge me on that. Is there such a thing as a backslider? Well, I reckon that if the Lord wrote to backslidden Israel, if a nation made up of so many millions of people can backslide, then it's made up of so many individual backsliders. There is such a thing as a backslider. But I do want to sound the alarm that the vast majority of so-called backsliders in America are people who never were frontsliders. They are not backsliders, they're just plain, old-fashioned, dirty, unregenerate sinners. When I hear people and they say, well, I was saved at 5 years old, of course I've lived the last 55 years in the service of the world, the flesh and the devil, and seem to be quite at home in the world, the flesh and the devil. I tell you, you're not dealing then with a backslider, you're dealing with a sinner. The mark of a backslider is that he is ruined for the world. He may for a time be waylaid by sin. He may lose his vision. He may lose his understanding. He may do foolish and terrible things. But it can't be too long. I'm not prepared to put a time period on it. I'm not a man's judge of conscience. I can say, however, it can't be too long until he feels that the sin is grinding him and robbing him. And as the sigh replaces the song, he will be pushed and pressed in his heart to cry to the Lord to deliver him out of bondage into renewed fellowship with the Lord. Verse 7. We read, it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. It came to pass that they cried unto the Lord. That is always true of a true Christian who has somehow lost his way.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.